Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Hey, friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a girlfriend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Friends, let's make birthday memories that will last a lifetime at Build-A-Bear Workshop. During the birthday month of your kids, they're going to get to count their candles before making their own birthday treat bear. The birthday treat bear is made just for birthdays, and it only costs as much as the age you're celebrating. If your child is turning 5, the birthday treat bear only costs $5. Visit buildabear.com to become a bonus club member for free and learn more about all the fun ways to celebrate birthdays at Build-A-Bear Workshop. Friends, you are listening to episode number 212, and my guest is Nicole Zazowski. Nicole is a licensed marriage and family therapist in Connecticut, where she lives with her husband, Jimmy, and her son, James. She's an old soul who wears her heart proudly on her sleeve. Nicole also enjoys writing about her story and the way she sees God moving and molding her through it. You're going to want to know this after our show is that her first book is coming out in January of 2020. That seems like forever away, I know, but just keep her name in the back of your mind because you are going to want to get your hands on this. Today's show is talking about feelings. You may think, I love feelings or I hate feelings. Just stay with me, you guys. If you are a person who would rather just stuff those feelings down, I want you to know that this show is for you. Get in a safe place with a safe friend and listen, because you are going to be challenged to see how helpful it actually is to deal with your feelings instead of stuffing them down. We talk about how we as people, we are so good at protecting ourselves from pain. Anyone relate to that?
We cannot change what we will not name. So it's a very important part of the process to know what it is that we need to take off. And this whole model is based on that verse in Ephesians, you know, taking off the old self and putting on the new. But then the bulk of the work is just beginning, because, and a lot of people want to jump to, well, I just won't do that. I'll take those coping behaviors, and no matter how I feel, I'll do something different. And self-control, as you know, only gets us so far. Yeah. Not very far at all. Because if that emotional root is there and we've learned to protect ourselves in those ways, we have to go to the root.
Okay, you've got that goodness to look forward to. Also, at the beginning, before we get to dealing with our pains and stuffing it down, Nicole and I talk about some grief that her and her husband have walked through in the past couple of years with multiple miscarriages. Today, she's going to open up with that and show that how even though she wishes that this wasn't her story, obviously, she's finding joy in the midst of it. The truth is, guys, that I know so many of us, we're either walking through grief ourselves or we're walking alongside friends that are grieving right now. Nicole and I even talked today about how to walk through grief with a friend. And I know that you're going to find this helpful, because it's going to happen sooner or later. We're going to have a friend who needs us to be there in their time of grief. Nicole and I had never met before this interview, but let me tell you, I adored her. She's just a breath of fresh air. And let me tell you this, if she lived closer, I'd make her go to lunch with me once a month just to process my emotions and feelings with her. In all seriousness, whenever I talk about counseling on the show, I get so many messages from you guys saying thank you. You tell me, thank you for making counseling seem normal. You tell me, thank you for taking the stigma away from walking into a counselor's office. And I want to say that comes from experience. You guys, I've walked into a counselor's office and it's not scary. It's actually really, really great. So thanks, Nicole, for also coming on and helping to take away that stigma as well. Guys, you're going to really love this show today. Did you guys know that in 9 days, we have our next Happy Hour Live event? We do these twice a year, two nights back to back. They are so much fun. I really, really hope that you get to come to one. If you're listening and you've joined us at one, you're nodding your head, because I know you had a phenomenal time at these events. Our guests this year are Amy Brown, from the Bobby Bones Show. You guys have heard her on the show before. Shay Scholl, she's been on the show before. Annie F. Downs, she's been here. You love her. And Crystal Hurst, you love her as well. Four phenomenal women with great stories who are doing phenomenal things with their lives in the world. They're all coming to be with us in a few weeks. These nights are my favorite for a few reasons. Number one, if you come to this, you get to come to my favorite city. I really think Austin, Texas is one of the greatest cities in the world. You get to explore it. You get to eat tacos that I love and drink coffee that I love. That's why I love it. Number two, I get to hug so many of your necks. I'm a hugger. If you've ever met me, you know that. I love meeting listeners. Number three, we really do have some raw and vulnerable conversations on that stage. We laugh, we cry, we do it all. It is so much fun. If you want to know when the next one is, make sure that you are subscribed to the newsletter. It's really the best way to know when everything's happening. This newsletter goes out every single Wednesday, and it includes show notes from each podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, which you are because you're listening, when you get that in your email inbox, it has every link that we talk about on the show. So you're driving, you're running, you're walking, you're nursing a baby in the middle of the night, you're washing dishes. You don't have time to write down every book we talk about. Guys, don't worry. I've done it for you. It's all in the newsletter. Also, it has extra stuff like tickets for events. Speaking of, there's a link in the newsletter that went out today for an event in Houston, and you guys are the first to know about it if you're on the newsletter. If not, I'll tell you on Instagram in a few days. So if you want to make sure that you know about the next Happy Hour Live, which I'll give you a small clue, it's next year, 2019, in April. There you go. Make sure that you're signed up. JamieIvey.com/newsletter. Guys, have you ever felt so far from God, you're sure he can't even hear your cries? It's those moments when you need renewed grace. And in those times, God promises mercy like morning. In Jane Johnson's debut book, Mercy Like Morning, she shares the things she learned the hard way. When life broke her heart, Jane turned to scripture. Through her decade-long journey of infertility, Jane dug in. While grieving the loss of her best friend, Jane dug in. While asking and waiting on God for miracles, she discovered new mercies every morning, and you can too. In Mercy Like Morning, you will learn how to be intentional with your own quiet time. When you seek truth in scripture, God will tuck back your hair for whispered revelations of your own. In Mercy Like Morning, you will learn how to search every nook and cranny of your Bible until there is no dark corner left. Fall in love with God's word for the first time or all over again. Order Mercy Like Morning at janejohnson.com or anywhere books are sold. All right, friends, longest introduction ever. I know it, but thank you for sticking with me. Here is my conversation with Nicole.
Hey, Nicole, welcome to the happy hour.
Hi, Jamie. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. We have a mutual friend. Yes. Well, I just found out we have several mutual friends,
yes,
at least that I figured out so far.
Yeah.
By the end of this hour, we might know more. But Jen Jett.
Mm-hmm. Love
and
her.
How do you know Jen?
So we met at one of her Launch Well seminars.
Oh, yes.
That she does for writers or prospective writers. Mm-hmm. And
which one?
The one in New York City.
Okay.
Yeah. I live just outside New York City. So was super excited that they came and did that and helped me in my process.
I love it.
Yeah.
She's there with who does she do?
Jana Burson.
Jana Burson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Jen is great. She's been on the show several times.
Aww.
And she was like, you need to talk to this girl. So
aww,
I'm so glad you're here.
Well, I'm really grateful to be here.
Okay. Introduce yourself a little bit. I know that you're married and you have a son and you live in Connecticut and you used to live on the West Coast, but tell me what you do.
Yes. I am a marriage and family therapist.
Am I going to cry in this next hour?
Oh, you might, but that won't be a bad thing. I might cry too. So
okay,
that's good.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And I work with couples. I work with individuals, adolescents and older. And my practice is in Greenwich, Connecticut, just outside New York City. And I am a writer. When I'm not doing counseling, I write about big and little things in life and how I see God moving through the pain and joy that I've experienced, particularly in this latest season.
Mm-hmm. Pain and joy in hard seasons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that is you can correct me if you don't feel this way. To me, it feels like one of the hardest things about the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, it also sometimes feels like the most comforting, that there can be joy in the midst of pain.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
It stinks that there's pain,
mm-hmm,
But sometimes I think, wow, what a gracious God to also give us joy in the midst of it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that when we're honest about our pain and when we...
Is that the key?
I think so. I think when we're honest about it, it ushers us in to the deepest joy that we have ever known. You know, I used to think that joy was found on the far side of a problem solved or a dream
like
fulfilled.
Once you're through it, or yes, once you've gotten what you're looking for.
Exactly. Or when you've gotten what you want, mm-hmm, and maybe your joy is contingent on a particular outcome. But this last season has taught me that when you're honest about your pain, and even in the midst of it, joy comes from walking every season we have with God, every feeling we have with God, and not just the happy
quote,
ones.
Unquote, good ones.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm honest about my pain, it's ushered me into deeper friendships with my community, a more full understanding of the character of God that I didn't fully recognize before. And what a powerful experience to be honest with Him. You know, I used to think, and I've struggled with this a lot, because in my pain, I tend to perform. That's one of the things I do to try to protect myself. Mm-hmm. And we will play out with God what we play out in our other relationships. And so I used to, when I first experienced intense grief a few years ago, I thought, okay, I've got to show Him I've learned something. I've got to try and have the perfect feelings. And I can be a little sad, but I...
Show God.
I need to show Him I'm learning and growing through it. And yeah, show God. And oh man, He just showed me that the more he says in His word that it is a pleasure, it is a joy. We have this gift in being jars of clay. And jars of clay are fragile. They're cracked. They're imperfect. And that's because those cracks are how the light gets in and out. So
I want to go two places with us today.
Sure.
First, I want to hear you mentioned that you've walked through seasons of grief in the past 7 years. Mm-hmm. And where I want to hear about the season of grief. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear how you felt joy. Mm-hmm. And then I want to also talk about your work that you do with marriage and family counseling.
Yeah.
I was telling you before we started recording, anytime we talk about counseling on the happy hour, I always get messages from people. I get messages from therapists saying, thank you for making this normal.
Yeah.
And I get messages from people saying, thank you for making this normal.
Yeah.
And so I say all the time, counseling is, it's for broken people, and we're all broken.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just everyone, raise your hand.
Me included.
Everyone needs it, you know?
Everybody needs it.
I was telling I had a meeting with one of my kids' teachers yesterday. It was my daughter. I was filling them in on some things, and she's super confident. But I think I'm going to be interested in this conversation because I think she hides a lot of pain. She's joined our family through adoption and just, so I noticed that about her, but anyhow, I'm talking to her teachers and I'm telling them something like some funny story or whatever. I think I even told them like something I screwed up with in parenting or whatever. And I'm like, listen, this is going to come out in counseling one day when she's in it. And I know it because we just all screw up.
Totally.
Like, I can't be the perfect parent.
Of course not.
You know, and because I'm a broken person, parenting broken people. But I'm pretty honest with like, kids, it's okay if you need to talk about your pain that I've caused you with someone else. And I also am like, you can tell me.
Yeah.
If I'm causing you
when
pain, please tell me. I had that conversation with two kids recently. Have I ever hurt?
That's amazing.
Have I hurt your feelings recently? Yeah. And one of them said no and one of them said yes.
What a gift.
I know.
And the research tells us that there's actually nothing more powerful in our parenting. Not that we have to be perfect, but that how we handle our mistakes and that we're willing to talk about them and say, you're right.
I
wish I would have handled that differently. And here's what I would say to you if I could do it all over again.
I think there is beauty in that, like you said, because how does it feel for me as an adult when someone comes to me and says, or in a marriage relationship or in a friendship, when someone says, I handled that wrong. It makes you go, it almost feels like, I feel like I can trust you.
Yeah.
Because you're aware and you're human.
You're willing to own your mistakes.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here, and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own. You guys, in January of 2024, I made a commitment to myself. I wanted to get stronger, which meant I needed to get in the gym, which means I needed to move my body in different ways. You guys know I love to walk. Well, it's spring, and spring is the best time for us to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, to tap into your power, and build towards your summer you. I love my Peloton. It accommodates to my schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. I can choose a 30-minute class. I can choose a 45-minute class. If you only have 5 minutes, there's literally a class to get you moving your body in 5 minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and every mood. There are classes if you want to hear country music, if you want to hear rock, if you want to go back to the 80s. If you can't run, take a walking class. Need some grounding? Try yoga. If you want to level up, go for their Pilates or HIIT workouts. Here's what I love is that you can move at your own pace. And that is what I'm learning that my body needs right now. It needs to move at its own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take all the guesswork out of working out. You guys, we think about so many things during the day. Let's take the guesswork out. Let's jump right in and let's keep our fitness journey fresh every single day. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. I personally love a good 45-minute hip-hop class. It gets me moving. It gets me excited. It's my favorite genre of music, just ask my kids. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking.
Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Okay, so let's go into your grief.
Yeah, so...
it's like... how do you do talking about your grief?
You know, I tend to get quiet and with my people initially, my people being, you know, my husband, my family. I have a really close-knit group of friends. That's one of the things I feel really blessed by in my life. And then once I've processed it and what God is teaching me through it, even if I'm not, I'm by no means over this. In a minute when I share, you'll get why. But I do pretty well talking about it, and it connects. I love how vulnerability connects us with other people. Sharing, there's nothing more powerful than sharing our stories and the way that we see, even if it's not solved, the way that we see God molding us through it.
For sure.
And of course, we recognize right away, we're not alone. Your struggles might be totally different than mine, but you know what it's like to be in pain. I think the worst thing we can do is say, well, nobody gets it. And there is that tendency when we're in the middle of the most excruciating pain. Nobody understands. My friend couldn't possibly understand because she doesn't have to deal with this. But the human experience, we have all dealt with pain. We all know what it's like to grieve in some way.
Do you think you learned that by sharing? Yeah. Like I just, that seems like a dumb question when I say it out loud. But when you think like, no one could understand, you have to get past that somehow.
Right.
And maybe it's that sharing that first thing.
Yeah. Learn it by sharing, by listening to other people's stories that, maybe they had a different journey than I did. But at the end of the day, and maybe we'll talk about this when we get to the counseling portion, but every single one of us has feelings that we tend to feel when we're in a painful situation and things that we tend to do to protect ourselves that are a short-term solution that create a longer-term pain.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that in a minute because I'm super interested in that.
Yes, sure.
And the work that you do there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your grief over the past 7 years.
Yeah, so 7 years ago, we moved to Connecticut from California. And some of the changes and loss in the last 7 years, I will be the first to admit, they are not tragedies. But for me, what they did was they called out my particular ways of coping with my pain. Some people call them idols. Some people call them coping mechanisms, methods of protection. They called out those for me as frauds. They stopped working for me.
What were they?
Mainly for me, performance, perfectionism, and shaming myself.
Okay.
When I would feel pain, those were sort of my go-tos. And
which is where you said you were trying to convince God that you had learned your lesson.
Yeah, or other people. Like, if I can just win this person over and get them to like me, I can feel okay again. When performance is your go-to, you're only as good as your last performance. So when it goes well, it's fun for a second, and then you're worried about slipping off the podium. When it goes poorly, you're just racing to perform again so you can prove yourself out of that hole. And
what are the other ones, like control?
Here's mine.
Yep. Control and approval.
Yep. So control and seeking approval for sure. Seeking approval would probably fall under the control bucket, and I can talk about that when we get to the counseling portion. But we all do something. Yeah. And what I discovered very quickly when I got to Connecticut was that these failed. And that was painful. I thought, well, I'll just prove myself all over again. That sounded really tiring. But I was, you know, that was all I knew how to do. And that was sort of my method of survival. And it was very clear through a few interactions early on that people were not so impressed with me.
That had to hurt.
It hurt really badly. And I still don't think some of the things that happened in those interactions and some of the things that were said were okay. But I'm really grateful for how God used it, because he kind of pulled me out of this approval, disapproval cycle. Essentially, I was interviewing for this counseling position in a private practice I thought I might want to work for. And this woman made it very clear that nothing about me made sense. And she didn't believe in me, my abilities at all. My resume meant nothing to her. My experiences meant nothing to her. And that people were going to look at me and know that I had nothing to contribute. And I was devastated. And so my whole identity, I realized, was caught up in other people's approval of me. And when I didn't get it, I got on the phone with a friend from California who was also a therapist. And this was perhaps taught me just as much as the painful interaction, because I wanted her to say,
"No, you're awesome.
You're awesome." I was looking for acceptance to answer the rejection that I felt, approval to answer that disapproval. And I'll never forget what she said to me. She just listened and she said, "Nicole, when you're called, you're called." And I was so dissatisfied by that answer.
Because you wanted her to tell you that you're amazing and that woman's stupid. And that place is dumb. Who would want to work there anyway?
Exactly. How wrong they were. How right I was.
They missed out on you.
They missed out on me. I was relying on her approval to boost me up again. But God used her words to say, when have I ever called anybody that made sense? And when I'm calling you, I equip you. I don't call and don't equip. And so your confidence needs to be in my call and not in the approval of others.
That'll preach right there. Your confidence needs to be in my call.
It's been huge for me. It is.
Okay, good.
That was the initial, I thought that the season would end kind of when I got used to my new home on the other side of the country where we knew no one. And there was transition there, of course. But that was really just the beginning of God kind of prying my fingers off of the things that I thought I wanted, including control, including my ability to make the life that I wanted happen. The biggest way that has happened is we've had 5 miscarriages in the last 4 years, I believe. And each one has been equally painful, but has just shown me different things. And this last one actually was just 6 weeks ago. We lost our 5th baby. And I looked at, I can't remember if it was my husband or just in my prayer time. I thought, I do not want to miss the next 15 years wishing for what isn't and missing what is. And a story that God has continued to bring me back to and has just stood out to me in these last 4 years especially is when the Israelites have just been rescued from Egypt. And, you know, they're in the wilderness. Freedom looks nothing like their vision. And they don't know what the next day is going to look like. They don't even know what the next meal is going to look like. And God provides meal by meal, quail in the evening, manna in the morning. And I believe manna actually means, what is it? Because the Israelites' reaction to God's provision was, what is it? They didn't recognize it because they were so locked in on their own vision that they missed the blessing of God's provision. And yes, I'm gonna grieve each one of these babies. And we have a diagnosis that makes it likely there could be more in the future. But I'm going to grieve each one and I'm going to be honest about that. And at the same time, I am not going to be so married to my vision that I miss the blessing of God's provision.
Now, when you're saying that, that's difficult.
It's really hard.
So difficult. And, you know, I love that. I just read that story with a Bible study that I'm doing with some friends. And one of the things that I also find so interesting about that story that God keeps bringing you back to, and I think is pretty relevant when you're like, God is providing exactly what you need.
Yep.
And he told them, only take what you need.
Yeah.
And when they would take too much,
it would spoil. Yeah.
And I've thought about that story often. It's so funny that you bring that up today because I think, man, what am I trying to like take
to collect,
or demand that's mine,
or and save God's like, for later,
or save it for later, or whatever.
Yeah.
And God said, it's not even good. Like you can't sustain, but trust me with what I'm giving you.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where you're walking.
Yes. And I don't say this at all. I mean, I speak about this from the mud pit. Mm-hmm. I do not say this at all. Like, there are days I don't want to just throw something because I'm hurting, and the vision that I had is not there. And I don't know what it's going to look like.
So as I'm thinking about this, and the thing that we both know is so true, and you said is that it doesn't matter what your pain is. We can relate. I can relate to this pain, even though I have had miscarriages. But what does that look like practically for someone that's in the mud pit with you? Like, they're in their own mud pit. Like, this is hard in life. And they wake up another day and go, I don't know how I can do this. Because that's reality for a lot of people. And if it's not your reality now, just hold on, because life is so hard. What did that look like practically for you to kind of get to the point where you go, I don't want to miss the next 15 years, like holding on to something that's not mine to hold on to. What does that look like for?
I mean, I've learned with each of the five. And as I said in the beginning, I wasn't so great at this, but being honest about the grief is the only way through. I don't want a way out. I want a way through. And a way out, any one of those coping mechanisms that we could rely on is a way out.
So what does a way through look like? Because this is good. I like this.
Yeah.
Because a way out would be like, for you, I'm going to prove to God that I got my lesson. I'm going to be perfection. I'm going to do this well. For me, it would be different. But what does it look like to walk through it?
I think being raw honest with God and other people about this really hurts.
Yep. Instead of trying to stuff it.
Yeah. Or put a shiny coat on it. Okay, I mean, and that's what it looks like for me because performance is my thing. So laying that down out of the truth that I know I am just as valuable in my pain as I am when I'm in my joy and celebrating.
That's good.
My identity does not change. God does not love me any less, which sounds so cliche, but can be really hard to own in the moment. He doesn't love me any less when I'm in my grief or when I'm feeling these feelings we like to label negative feelings. And I've stopped doing that because I think all feelings can usher us into his love.
Okay, that's good. Because negative would mean like, I don't need to have those.
Yeah, or that there's somehow
something's
you're defective if you feel those, or you haven't gotten over it, or you're wallowing.
Are you still
Are you still dealing with that? And I think feeling those feelings and being honest about them for me, knowing that I'm just as valuable there as I am when I'm celebrating something or when I do get through and I do feel that joy.
You know, the flip side of this, I'm thinking about, I just interviewed my friend Taylor Nichols, who was on a show recently, and she walked through losing her dad as a 28-year-old. So we talked about that grief and what grief has looked like for her.
That would be so hard.
And we talked about how grief is so different and it fluctuates and it's ugly and it's unexplainable and it comes and goes, all the things that you know.
Yep.
So we talked about that. One thing that I'm really, really intrigued about, especially because I was sitting with my friend Taylor and we do life together.
Yeah.
You know? She lives here in Austin and we're friends. We're friends too, but you know, she lives here. But as I was thinking through that, I was like, and what does that look like for a friend on the outside of that person? Because I think sometimes our tendency could be like, I cannot believe we're still talking about this. You know what I mean? And that would, to me, falls under what you're talking about, those negative feelings. Like, why is she still grieving? Why is she still feeling this way? So maybe from, you can come at it from like a professional standpoint or like this has happened in your real life. How do we be a friend to a grieving person?
I get that question all the time because I think there's something immobilizing when we see somebody who's hurting so badly and who's so raw that at least with a lot of the people that I've talked to, they don't want to say anything that makes it worse.
Yes.
And so the tendency is to say nothing. Like, at least if I say nothing, it'll be neutral. I can't mess up. It, because it's vulnerable to comfort.
Totally vulnerable.
It's vulnerable to step into somebody else's story and say, tell me what this is like.
I think it's vulnerable too. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm stepping into someone's story who's grieving something I don't get.
Yes. Because then
I don't
there's
know
a sense of inadequacy or do I really have what it takes? Do I have the right to speak into this when I haven't been through it?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I think what I tell people is, and what's helpful actually for me as the person inside that circle or inside the mud pit, as I call it, is just to be curious. Hey, I'm going to be honest about the fact that I have no idea what this is like. I've dealt with other things, but this isn't one of them. And I want to understand what you feel like. Because one grieving person might have a totally different experience based on their history than another grieving person. And so it's not a one size fits all anyway.
Yeah.
And so I just want to be curious, will you help me understand what this has been like for you? And just asking lots of questions. And then I just tell people to say, hey, I have no idea what would be helpful, but I want to do something.
Mm.
Tell me something that I can do that would be really helpful. And that's a little different than, can I do anything? Because then the other person has a, no, I'm fine. But to really commit, I want to do something for you. Tell me what that is.
Mm-hmm.
You get to pick what that is. And I'm open to anything.
Yeah. And to just to listen and not have answers.
Exactly. And we are very uncomfortable with that.
With not having answers.
Yes.
I feel it's so comforting to the person who's walking through a trial is that, because I don't really need anyone to fix me right now.
No.
I remember when we brought our kids home from Haiti, those first couple of years are just, they're so hard. They're so difficult.
Yeah.
And I remember when I would talk to someone and they would say like, oh, my kid did this one time as well. And I immediately was like, no, that kid came from your body and they haven't endured trauma and you don't know what this is like. This is different, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but when people would just listen, it's like my best girlfriend in the world, her daughter has special needs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. I don't live that life.
No.
We have very different struggles.
Right.
So I don't try to tell her what I think she should do with Mabry, but I can listen.
Right. Listen and validate the feelings.
And say, how can I help? Yeah. Like you said. Yeah.
Yeah. What can I do to walk this season with you?
That's good.
So those are the things that come to mind. And those are the things that have been helpful for me.
Because we want to be good friends.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And we want to be helpful and close to our friends in their pain.
Yeah. So do you care telling us your diagnosis? It's none of our...
No, not at all. So we have what is called a balanced translocation. So it's a genetic, and if there's genetic counselors listening, they might think I'm totally botching this. But as far as I understand it, there's chromosomes that are not in the right. So part of my husband's 15th is stuck on his first, and part of his first is stuck on his 15th.
That makes absolutely no sense to me. But I'm like going with you. Like, okay, yeah. I got it.
And so all the genetic material is there for him, which is why it wouldn't have been recognized until we tried to have children.
I see.
And then the right combination of genes have to get, or chromosomes have to get chosen.
Yeah.
For the baby to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So thank you. Thank you. It is not the story I thought I would have. But it is painful. I'll be honest about that. But certainly God has not wasted it.
Yeah.
And I say that genuinely. He has used that pain to, like I said, pry my fingers off what I thought I wanted to give me the one thing I need, which is him.
Yeah.
I love the message version of all the Beatitudes. And I might not totally get the wording right on this, but it's like, blessed are those who mourn or who lost the thing that is most dear to them, for they will receive more of what is most dear to them, which is Jesus, or something like that.
I love that. You didn't butcher it well. I love that. I have one of my favorite verses forever, and I was going to butcher it, but I cheated and looked it up, is from Romans 5. And it says we rejoice in our sufferings, which is just so hard. But this is why. Like, I love God's word because he's like, hey, rejoice. I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
Rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance.
Yeah.
And endurance produces character. Mm-hmm. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame.
Yeah.
And I can just like see that of like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you that this, you're doing something in me.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I do want to be more sanctified and I want to be more holy and I want to be closer to him.
Yeah. And so often we think the blessing is what he can do for me and not in me.
Yeah.
And not what he's working through. Yeah. And so this has just been one of the things God's used in my story to give me empty hands to receive more of him.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, I know you're loving my new friend, Nicole, and you want her to be your friend as well. But I want to pause for just a second to thank some sponsors of the Happy Hour because they make this show possible every single week for you. The first people that I want to thank are ZipRecruiter. You know, there are job sites that send you tons of the wrong resumes to sort through, or they make you wait for the right candidates to apply to your job. And here's what that's not, guys. That's not smart. But do you know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/HH to hire the right person. Because you see, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and then it actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates fast. No more sorting through all of the wrong resumes. No more waiting for the right candidates to apply. That is why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. So right now, you guys, my listeners, that's you. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive webpage. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/HH. That's ZipRecruiter.com/HH. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Okay, guys, I also want to thank Away. Away offers high-quality luggage that is designed to be resilient, resourceful, and essential to the way you travel. The bags are available in a variety of colors and 4 sizes, including carry-on sizes that are compliant with all major U.S. airlines. The Away suitcase is lightweight and made with premium German polycarbonate that's unrivaled in strength and impact resistance. Not to mention, it features a TSA-approved combination lock, 4 360-degree spinner wheels, and a patent-pending compression system to help overpackers. You guys, I know about that patent-pending compression system because I have one of the carry-on suitcases. And you guys, I have carried that bag on for a 9-day trip in Italy. I take it every weekend when I get on the road. I just took it a couple weeks ago when Aaron and I went to Sedona. I pack so much into that bag. Also, you guys, both sizes of the carry-on are able to charge anything that's powered by a USB cord. A simple charge will power your iPhone 5 times. Try out Away for 100 days. Vibe with it, travel with it, Instagram it, pack it so full you got to sit on it to close it. That's what I do. And if at any point you decide it's not for you, return it for a full refund. Shipping is free within the lower 48 states. And thanks to Away's lifetime warranty, if anything breaks, they'll fix it. So you've got nothing to lose. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/happyhour and use the promo code happyhour during checkout. That's awaytravel.com/happyhour, promo code happyhour for $20 off your Away suitcase.
Okay, so let's get into your counseling.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that your pain and suffering has got to, does it help or hurt?
I think it helps.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think the instant we lose touch with our humanity as a therapist is the instant we lose our gut in the room when we're with somebody else. Mm. And I don't talk about my story
for
with
sure.
my clients because it's about them and it should be about them. But it certainly has given me a different lens having walked this specific journey.
Okay. So I want to hear about the practice that you do with couples, the retreat type thing.
Yep.
I want to hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted you to talk about what you mentioned earlier about when we stuff down our feelings.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Tell me about this.
So I'll start with the model of therapy that I use because I also use that at the Hideaway Experience, which is that marriage intensive that I work out 3 to 4 times a year. So the model I use is called restoration therapy, and it essentially says that there are 2 essential pillars we need as humans to thrive and survive, really. The first is love, and the second is trust.
Okay.
And we're really good as a culture about talking about love. That's all the attachment stuff. Trust we don't talk about as often, but when there's a violation of love, The result is pain about who we are. It says something about our identity. So I might feel worthless or not good enough or unknown or like a failure. Any feeling that relates to who I am when I get a confusing or destructive message about whether or not I'm loved.
Okay.
And then when there's a violation of trust, the result is a confusing or painful message about our sense of safety. So I might feel powerless, helpless, insecure about my situation. Anything that has to do with my environment being safe or my ability to make choices and have agency. Okay. And so people's experiences and the relationship dynamics that they grow up with and things that maybe happened to them or their family growing up shape the kind of pain we feel when we're in a painful situation. So you and I could go through the exact same painful circumstance tomorrow, and you might feel unknown or like a failure, and I might feel not good enough and inadequate. That
so
was
it doesn't
just an
matter
example.
What the pain is that you go through. It's kind of how...
Most of the time not. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's we could experience the same thing and feel totally different things based on what our stories have been.
So I could imagine, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of like how I would see this play out. If you're a marriage therapist, mm-hmm. I bet you've seen this. You always hear... parents who have kids with special needs or yep. walk through the death of a child
yep.
can be one of the hardest things. Am I right?
Absolutely.
And you see a lot of marriages
yep.
not make it through those.
Yes.
Is that one of the things? They're experiencing the same pain, mm-hmm. but they're dealing with it differently?
Yeah. I don't know if that's necessarily why they wouldn't make it.
Maybe I should say like you can see yeah. like, or oh, maybe yeah. you're in a relationship. You're like, I can't believe you're not reacting this
yes.
way. Okay.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I've experienced that with my husband. Mm-hmm. Walking through this. Uh-huh. We do not experience it exactly the same. There's overlap for sure. But there's different pain there.
Yeah.
And that's for sure how I have felt at times. Like, just experience it exactly
right.
the way I do.
Because then it would feel real to
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Yeah. But we have different stories. Mm-hmm. And so as a result of these feelings, we develop ways of coping with them, which is what you were referring to, in an attempt to protect ourselves from those feelings that are understandable and growing up sometimes even necessary.
Okay.
But what's necessary becomes a barrier in our relationship with ourselves and our relationship with other people.
As you get older?
Yeah, as you become an adult and you're empowered to make choices mm-hmm. and you're interacting, you take more responsibility for those feelings.
Okay, give me like a real life example of
yeah.
what this looks like.
Yeah, so, I'll use myself.
I was going to say with a woman named Sally. I don't know.
How about a woman named Nicole?
A woman named Nicole.
My feelings are when I'm in a painful situation, I tend to feel rejected, not good enough, and like a failure.
Okay.
And those are all similar, but have slightly different, but very much in the identity column. And so immediately what I do is I shame myself. And we think of shame often as a feeling. I tend to think of it as something we do. It's one of our coping mechanisms.
How do you do shame? What does that look like?
So you basically agree with those feelings. I am this. And I continue to give myself messages that perpetuate that feeling that I am no good because of this. If your little kid self is outside of you and right here in front of you, it's sort of like shaking your finger at them, mm-hmm. like you are no good. You would have been better if you could, you know. And of course, we would never do that,
right?
But we do it to ourselves all the time.
All the time, yeah.
And we're totally comfortable treating ourselves that way, but not somebody else, or let alone a child. And so that's one thing I do, and then the next thing I do would be to try and perform and prove myself out of that feeling. So the shame that I carry, those not good enough feelings, can only be answered by
being better.
Being better.
Okay.
A good performance. Mm-hmm. And I use that good performance as a permission slip to feel okay about myself. And then, like I said, I might feel good if I can perform for a minute or two. But then there's always that fear. It doesn't solve those not good enough feelings.
How has that worked with the grief of miscarriages? Like when you say, like, I need to mm-hmm. prove myself to be better. What does that look like for you?
I mean, I think because it's so clear there's nothing I can do medically, what it's looked like for me is with God. If I can, you know, I've had thoughts that I don't believe at all, but it just shows you how tenacious shame is about finding fault within. I've had thoughts about, maybe God doesn't think I'm doing a good job with the son that I do have. And maybe if I were just better,
a better mom,
he would entrust more children to me. Or maybe it's because, that's the main one.
Yeah.
It's because I got in a fight with my husband the other day.
I have felt that way.
Yeah.
I remember I had two miscarriages in college. So I was unmarried, pregnant. Yeah. And then when I was married to my husband and we got pregnant with our son, Caden, I was really convinced that I would lose because I had two previous miscarriages.
Sure.
Well, now I'm married and I can do this. Like, this is quote unquote
you have
allowed.
A green light.
Yeah, I have a green light to do this. But I was really convinced that God surely wouldn't let me because I didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
So that was that talk of.
That's that shame talking.
It's that,
Yeah. That shame telling you, you don't deserve a good thing. Uh-huh. Which is another thing when God has pulled me outside of that. You know, every good thing is a gift. Mm-hmm. We don't earn it.
Yeah.
And it really shined a light on how entitled I felt to good things because I had been good.
Yeah.
And that's not how it works at all. It's all grace.
Right.
So that's how it's worked with me. Mm-hmm. But there's four main buckets that and different things, more specific things in each of these buckets that people tend to use to protect themselves from pain. So the first is blame, getting really angry. Everything is everyone else's fault, raging. I just go from 0 to 60.
Okay.
The second would be shame, what we just described, agreeing with those messages about your value and I can do no good and there's something wrong with me.
And I don't know about men because I don't know men. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know I'm a woman.
Right.
So weird to say. I'm like, I don't know. But you might be able to answer this because you speak to both. But I feel like that shame when us women, we can just sit in that.
We are good at it, for sure.
We are good at sitting and believing it to be the ultimate truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is true about me.
Yep. No, I do encounter a lot of women who struggle with that one, but men too.
Yeah.
I mean, the crazy thing is
it probably looks different.
It looks different, but all four of these are.
Okay. So blame, shame,
control.
Okay.
So
that's me. I'm like,
I see that smile over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's basically if everyone else just does it exactly the way that I need them to, I can feel okay. Mm-hmm. Or if I can manage my life into going exactly the way I want it to. And this is a tough one because our culture celebrates controllers. Yeah. It's the type A. It's often qualities that are really celebrated in the workplace, depending on the workplace.
Yeah.
But that kind of get it done at all costs, very independent persona. And then the final one would be escape. And this has lots of different faces because we can escape in all sorts of ways.
Oh, now we can. I mean, there's an escape every minute of the day you could find. I mean, pick up your phone.
Exactly.
Right?
Instagram.
Okay, yeah.
And anything on the iPhone, Netflix, shopping, addiction.
Yeah.
Like drugs, alcohol, pornography.
All that falls under escape.
All of it falls under escape. And yeah. And then some people physically leave.
Literally.
Escape. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I just take off.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that is withdrawal. you can actually do that in all four. Mm. I can withdraw to punish.
Yep.
And that would be more blaming.
Uh-huh.
I can withdraw to manipulate, to get you to do what I want to do. I can withdraw to check out. Mm-hmm. Yep. Or I can withdraw because I am so bad that nobody deserves right. to be around me.
Yeah.
And so face value doesn't necessarily tell us what
right.
the driving uh-huh. motivation is.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are the things that we do to protect ourselves from pain.
So with your therapy, you're mm-hmm. saying, let's first find out what it is that you struggle yeah. with.
Like, we call it the pain cycle.
Let's identify the pain yeah. cycle. Mm-hmm. And then do you help them to recognize the pain cycle?
Mm-hmm. I get it on paper.
And then get yeah. some steps for what we're going to do next.
Yeah. So then the bulk of the work, insight, is only not even half the battle. I mean, we have to know, we cannot change what we will not name. So it's a very important part of the process mm-hmm. to know what it is that we need to take off. And this whole model is based on that verse in Ephesians, you know, taking off the old self and putting on the new. But then the bulk of the work is just beginning because, and a lot of people want to jump to, well, I just won't do that.
Uh-huh.
I'll take those coping behaviors and no matter how I feel, I'll do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And self-control, as you know, only gets us so far,
yeah.
not very far at all. Because if that emotional root is there and we've learned to protect ourselves in those ways, we have to go to the root.
To the root.
And so the bulk of—
And that's the hard part.
That's the hard part. That's the good part and that's the messy part.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, it's like cleaning out the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Feelings in the back corner you didn't yeah. know you had. Wounds you didn't know you had or are just strewn out all over the floor.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of courage to do this part, but it's so worth it.
Yeah.
And so what I help my clients do or hope to is being able to look at those feelings and help them take the empowered position to say, what is true about those?
Yeah.
There's a huge difference. We can't eradicate feelings from our lives. I wish.
Right. yeah.
But those are there. But when we do feel them, we do have a choice about what we do with them. Do we agree with them? Do we react from them? Or are we willing to look at ourselves and say, no, no matter how I feel, this is what's true about me.
Mm.
This is what I'm empowered to do. And so instead of
whatever,
blame, shame, control, uh-huh. escape, this is what I'm going to do instead.
That can be, it'd be so empowering, I think.
Huge.
I mean, I'm thinking yeah. even like in my own life, of course, yeah. I'm thinking of things that mm-hmm. would be a struggle for me. And sometimes I think also we think, and it mm-hmm. might be true, it's easier to just do those things that we've known how to do forever.
Yeah.
It yeah. feels easier. What
Completely.
You're asking me to do feels like a lot of hard work.
Absolutely.
And but I can use my brain to think the other side of that hard work yeah. must bring so much freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's, we have to experience it. So I do a lot of experiential mm-hmm. stuff because otherwise it's just words and
yeah.
there's nothing magic about mm-hmm. the words. But you're exactly right. And the neuroscience supports that. If it's kind of like if I tell you to get to the other side of those woods mm-hmm. and there's a path, or you could blaze your own trail. I'm essentially asking you to blaze your own trail.
Yes.
Because your brain prefers what it knows.
Yeah.
And so if it is used to and hardwired, uh-huh. when you feel whatever it is that you feel in pain, I am hardwired to protect myself yeah. in this way. Yeah.
I think about this a lot. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about myself, obviously, but I think about some of my kids
yeah.
in particular that have been through really hard things
yes.
in their young life.
Yeah.
And I think about when you're naming off those buckets, mm-hmm. I'm immediately thinking, this is where he goes.
Mm-hmm.
This is where he goes. And I can see that. And from an outsider looking in, I see that there is so much more that he could feel and experience, but he does always go back to the same thing mm-hmm. over and over because it's what he knows, but it's not true.
Right.
It's not true, but it's what he knows.
Yeah.
So I imagine that there are people listening like I am, and mm-hmm. they're like, oh my gosh, if only I could come sit down with you for like an hour for the next 6 weeks,
I
could solve all
that.
My problems.
Oh.
But you live in Connecticut.
I do.
If someone is feeling like, golly, I think I need to talk to someone, mm-hmm. obviously I'm so pro counseling,
mm-hmm.
but what is your like recommendation? Because we can't all come sit in your office on a comfy chair with the blanket.
That would be fun.
I know that would be fun.
So I will get you the website that has people who do the kind of therapy that I have
nationwide
just described.
There's people that have this certification.
Yeah, okay. We're a growing community for sure. And then if you're married and want to do one of these hideaway
experiences. Oh, do the intensive thing. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the model I just described is roughly the model that we use at the hideaway experience.
Is this for people who are like, our marriage is in distress?
No. Okay. I mean, yes. And it's for any marriage.
Okay.
We've had couples that, hey, we've been married 20 years, pretty good. We just want to tune up.
Yeah.
And we think this would, we've heard awesome things from our friends, and we just think this would be a great experience for us. And then we have people who have papers ready to sign.
Like last straw.
Last ditch effort. If this doesn't work, we're done. And everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marriages that have sensed some significant struggle and are not settling for that and want to do it differently. So, yeah, it's called the Hideaway Experience, and there's three locations. I tend to work at the one in Rome, Georgia, and I have been in Amarillo as well.
Amarillo, Texas?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's like nothing. And sorry for all of you West Texas people, but there's not much in Amarillo. I guess
and
you're
there's
not-
even less around where this place is. But let me tell you, it is the most beautiful retreat.
Really?
It's their home. It's their vacation home, their family home that they run these intensives out of. Okay. And it's on this canyon. Do you know what that's called? Some canyon.
I'll take it back. West Texas can be very beautiful.
Yeah.
So all of you that are listening, we vacation in Marfa all the time. But I know Amarillo is a little bit norther.
Yes.
Norther? That's not a word. North of there. Okay.
Yeah. So the place itself, it's like 5-star accommodations.
Uh-huh.
The hospitality.
I'm down for hospitality. It does it for me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you will be, I say this all the time, that is every bit as much, if not more, the therapy
is being
than
served.
The actual counseling. Yeah. You would be amazed the breakthrough we see from the level of hospitality that is received at each of these three locations. Mm-hmm. And then the third one's outside of San Diego.
Okay. Which that's nice too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. They're all beautiful in different ways, all the same level of service, same counseling model. But we take them through that process in 4 days.
Wow.
And I always say I get the privilege of just being a miracle watcher. I mean,
do you see?
Oh, my goodness. It is such a and I don't say this like I'm doing it. It is God through these places and through the work that these couples are doing.
Wow.
The other thing is it's group couples therapy.
Oh, that makes my armpits sweat. This is the worst thing I could ever imagine. Is that hard?
It is. So it's the number one thing that people are afraid of.
Yeah, I'm scared right now for everyone that's coming.
Number one thing that people love when they
really
leave. It's their favorite part. Yes. Because you learn exactly what we're talking about.
Yep.
You're sitting with perfect strangers, and that sounds really scary because we're asking you to go to deep places.
Which I'd rather go deep. Here's the protector.
Sure.
Let's go. I'm going to go deep with someone I don't ever have to see again.
Yeah.
Rather than like my kid's, you know, football mom.
Yeah. But by the end, you may wish you had seen them again.
I know.
You would get to see them again. But all of a sudden, somebody else is talking from across the circle. And I'm like having this revelation that, oh my goodness, they're putting words to how I have felt for 31 years and never been able to express before. Yeah. And so there's something that's really special bonding, but also growth that gets facilitated because of the group process. Mm. So totally get why it makes your armpits
sweat. Okay, I buy into it now, but that would be the part where I'd be like, can we skip this session?
No, I totally get it. At first when I heard that, I'm like, group couples therapy? How does that even work?
Stress me out.
I know. But it's usually a gift. It's always a gift and usually people's favorite part.
What a joy to get to watch that too.
Oh my goodness. I'm so lucky.
I mean, just to be like, I think because we've been married 17 years.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of marriage. I'm like, I say it's one of God's kindest gifts to me because he didn't have to give it to me. and so I'm a big fan of it and it's hard. But what a joy to get to see people put in the effort and the work.
Yeah.
And then come out on the other side and say, we're gonna make this happen. Make this work.
Yeah. I drive away. I'm actually gonna go in a week to do one of these.
Which city are you going to?
Atlanta.
Okay.
Rome. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm driving. I always drive away on Thursdays and think, wow.
Mm.
What a gift. And thank you, Lord, that I get to participate in your work in that way, because that's truly what it is. And that's what it is in my counseling practice, too. What a joy and privilege to participate in the work of God's people, you know, in the work he's doing in their lives. So, and I use this in my own marriage. My husband uses it, too, this model. So we, you know, we have work to do, too.
Yeah.
And I have a really, really great marriage, but
you can always work.
Always,
I mean, it's
room.
Like two people living together. There's always something you can work on.
And we need this just as much as everybody else. So,
Well, this has been so enlightening to me just to hear about your work and what you're doing, but also super encouraging as well. And so I know that people are listening, are feeling encouraged themselves, or even like, how can I walk beside a friend who's really struggling to walk through something that I don't really get?
Yeah.
You know? And so what a joy to get some practical tools for that as well.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Capella University is rethinking higher education. With their game-changing FlexPath format, you can earn your degree on your schedule, so you can fit education seamlessly into your life. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Yeah.
Okay, what are you loving these days, and what are you reading?
What am I loving? I am loving, okay, this sounds very nerdy.
No, but my, go for it.
My seven-year pen.
Wait, you've had it for seven years? Okay, I was like, how in the world did you keep up with a pen for 7 years?
I wish I could actually keep the pens that long.
Okay.
But it's a type of pen that I use to write, because I'm in the middle of writing this book.
Are you handwriting your book?
No, but I like use it to and journal and process. Yeah. And I usually do a lot of scratching before I actually type.
Yeah.
And I have to have this pen.
Seven-year pen.
The seven-year pen. I think that's what it's called. If you type that into Amazon, it will show up.
Is that where you got it? Amazon?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
The seven-year pen. What else?
I am loving my University of Washington Huskies, even though...
Didn't y'all win recently?
No, we
y'all
lost.
Y'all lost to...
Yeah, Auburn. It was brutal.
Y'all didn't lose that bad.
It wasn't that bad, but we had we fought a good fight. It was a good game.
Yeah. I have a friend here who's a Husky fan, so that's the only reason
really?
I would ever know how y'all did.
Oh, that's so fun.
We
There's
watched
like
the
none.
Game. I know. He's from Washington State.
There you go.
And so we watched, the game was on. And so I only take notes because I'm like, oh, Nate loves them.
Yeah,
so
yeah. It was a very good game, and I was proud of them, but it would have been
fun.
Did
you go to Washington, or you just...
No, my parents did. And so growing up, that was sort of my local football team, and my college didn't have a football team.
Okay.
So, and then what am I reading? I am reading, my She Reads Truth Bible.
There's mine right there.
It has made such a difference for me. So I could also put that in the what I'm loving category.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I mean, it's obviously the same scripture that I've had
forever. Yeah.
But I love the translation. Uh-huh. For some reason, it has made such a difference in me getting in the word on a regular basis.
Why is that?
I think I love the devotions that are inserted randomly throughout. And I love that they're not on the most obvious passages of scripture. So they just really illuminate the meaning of the text that I may have otherwise kind of glossed over.
Right.
And I love the thought that they put into, like, I love reading at the beginning of the books, like, this was the purpose of this
For
book.
Sure.
This was what was going on. I feel like the context this Bible has put around scripture has just made it come alive for me in a different way.
Rachel and Amanda will love to hear this.
Oh, I hope so. I'm so grateful for them.
The reading plan at the beginning of each chapter.
Yes. Yeah. And the 1 year one in the back, I did that last year and was really blessed by it because it also has shown me, oh, this is how the Old Testament is connected.
Yeah, because I do a lot of, if you want to go deeper, read this.
Yeah. And this is how Jesus is the fulfillment of that. And my goodness, am I grateful for everything Rachel and Amanda have done. I feel like there's just was nothing like
that.
They're
doing great stuff. I'm actually doing with a group of girlfriends, Open Your Bible, a study that they put out.
Yeah.
So we're really liking it.
I've been wanting to do that one. I am also reading The Middle Place.
Yes.
By Kelly Corrigan.
I haven't read it, but I heard it's amazing.
It is really good. If you like memoirs.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, me too. It just connects with me in such a deep way. And I read Tell Me More, which is her most recent book that came out and decided I should probably read everything else she's ever written because she's such a brilliant writer. And then I'm reading Forgiving God by Hilary Yancey.
Okay.
And that I'm not all the way through it, so I won't pretend to know what the bulk of her message is. But in the beginning, it's really helping, reminding me to give myself permission for those raw feelings that we talked about.
Yeah. That's so good. I'm not reading. Actually, I am reading something. I'm a really bad reader right now. I'm reading.
We go through seasons,
I know. Have you heard about the book Educated?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't read it.
I have it on my bookshelf. I'm dying to get to it.
It has come up in conversations in the past 2 weeks so much in my life.
Really?
I need to order it today.
That's good to know. You should.
I've heard it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Based on what little I have read and heard about it, I think it's going to be a really good book.
I do too. It's a memoir too. And that's my fave.
Yeah, me too.
That's my fave.
Me too.
Girl, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. This was a really... happy hour.
This
can I be corny like that? Yeah. But a real blessing for me to be with you.
You're so kind. Yeah. And so we'll put up on the show notes everywhere people can find you.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to connect with you. Isn't that the best thing about social media? I've had so much fun doing that and making friends that I never would have been able
to
meet.
Yes.
I think people are hard on social media sometimes, and I totally get it. It
has for sure.
Pitfalls for sure.
Yes, it could be an escapism.
Yes.
Did you like that?
Or a way to prove ourselves.
There you
and
go.
Control what people think of us.
We can use social media for all kinds of things.
All kinds of things. But a gift is to connect with people. Yeah. So I would love that.
I love it so much. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Jamie.
Guys, you know what I found is that learning how to deal with questions about technology, entertainment, and sexuality can often leave Christian parents exhausted and confused. You guys, I want to invite you to join myself, Matt Chandler, Beth Moore, and others at the 2018 ERLC National Conference in Dallas on October 11th through 13th as we look at what it means to be a Christian family. Go to ERLC.com/events to learn more. Use the code HAPPYHOUR for 30% off your tickets. Oh, did I mention my man's going to be leading worship there? Come join us, you guys. It's going to be a great time. ERLC.com/events. Use the code word HAPPYHOUR for 30% off your tickets. Friends, today's show is edited by Chris with Podshaper, and the music was developed for the show by Matt Graham. If any of you are going to be at the Lifeway Abundance event in Richmond, Virginia this weekend, please come say hi. You know I'm a hugger. I'm going to give you a hug and tell you thank you for listening to the show. I love meeting listeners. Come say hi. Guys, enjoy your week. Share the show with a girlfriend. Have a happy hour with a friend. I will see you back here next week.
Start clean with Clorox because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.